Well, welcome to 2020. It's a new year, a new decade, and 2020 is all about seeing clearly, particularly those things that are most important to us. So what could be more important to us than our happiness? We all want to be happy. Our careers, our family, even our hobbies are all designed to make us happy. And if you're anything like me, you love being around happy people. But unfortunately, fewer of us report being happy. Most of us just, well, we don't feel happy. And when we do feel happy, we don't feel happy for very long. And sometimes when we feel happy, we can oftentimes feel guilty that we want to be happier. And so happiness can be a bit of a challenge for us. But what happens if happiness was not just a state, but an activity? What if you and I actually can do happiness, that for us to be happier, that we can actually go and create happiness for other people, that we go and create happy. And I believe that's what Jesus invites us to experience, a guilt-free, world-changing type of happiness that you and I get to genuinely pursue and is worth our lives pursuing, that kind of happiness. And the best part is that as we pursue that kind of happiness and we become happier people, that happier people actually make other people happier. Wouldn't that be awesome? Happier people making other people happier. I think that sounds pretty cool. And so over the next, 7 weeks, we're going to look at some different ways in which you and I can live happier. And we actually are going to have some happier beatitudes as we look at the teachings of Jesus and we see what the Bible has to say about happiness, that we have some ways that you and I can go and do happiness, that we have some happier beatitudes. And the first one we're going to look at today is this, is that you are happier when you give. And so I want to look at a scripture in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 32. And in this passage of scripture, we have Paul, who is an apostle. He would go and start new churches, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus, a bit of a farewell letter. And this is what he says. This is part of the letter, starting in verse 32. This is what he says. He says, Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, if you could say in one word what you want more of in life, what would it be? If you could say in one word what you would want more of in life, what would it be? This was the question of a Forbes article entitled this, and this is the most awesome title ever, "The Top 8 Things People Desperately Desire But Cannot Seem to Attain." Isn't that a great title? The top 8 things people desperately desire but cannot possibly attain. So this was the question that they asked almost 800 professionals. And would you guess the number one thing that they desperately desire but can't seem to attain is happiness? And so they reported on there that they would search for happiness, and this was people self-reporting. They would say that they would look for happiness in their jobs and their careers, and their spouses, and their family, and their titles, and even in their salary. But while some of those would provide momentary happiness, it would be fleeting, it would go away, that they were not able to maintain this happiness that they truly desired and sought. And they said, here's the real challenge to all of this. This was the real challenge to happiness. This is what they reported. And they said this, the challenge is not knowing what I want to do. In other words, we're searching for happiness and searching for happiness, but what it came down to, even as we achieve goals and we receive those things that we thought happiness could be found, we're not able to find it because we're not really sure what it is that we want to do. How does it we live our life? So number 2 on their list was money. oftentimes closely related to happiness. If we just had more money, then we would be happy. But see, here's the thing, and we all know this, is that we all want to be happy, and we're all searching for it. And this was the discovery that they found at Yale University. In 2018, they began to offer this class called The Psychology and the Good Life. So this class has only been around about a year and a half, and already it's the most popular class in 3 centuries at Yale University. That over 1,200 students have enrolled in this class, that they begin to pull professors in from other fields to add more class options so that more people could take it. 1,200 students have taken this class, all about how you find happiness. Now, the class was so popular that they can now offer it online entirely for free. So if you are like me and want to update your LinkedIn profile, you can now be a student at Yale as well. And so you can go and take this class, Discover Happiness, and, you know, have Yale on your resume. So you can go take it. I'm in week 2. It's great. You could take it while other things are going on, because that's what you do at Yale. So you go and take that class absolutely free. But because the reason why they offered this is that they found that they wanted to offer some kind of response among their student population that they found has higher instances of depression, anxiety, less connection, and were struggling to find happiness. And so they thought, well, let's offer this class. But of course, we know it's not just the students of Yale who can't seem to find happiness. Because according to some surveys, that most of us are entirely more unhappy than we've ever been in the course of human history. And one survey said 2/3 of people surveyed report being very unhappy. So if we were to look around this room and think about this, 2/3 of us would report being unhappy. Because we all seem to be searching for happiness, but we can't seem to find it. And this is at a time when we live in a time of greater prosperity, technology. We're more connected than we were ever before. We have more education. You can take classes for free. You can learn about anything you want to. We're more connected to anyone. You could tweet to celebrities, politicians, whoever. And yet, we're more unhappy than we've ever been. We have more choice and opportunity, but we're unhappy. Why is this? And it's really not a new challenge, because even in our very scriptures, we see a man named King Solomon, who at the height of the nation of Israel had wealth, prosperity, success, pleasure. He'd accomplished all of his goals. And in fact, he even talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes that he set out to try all of them in the pursuit of happiness. And this is what he concluded in chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "What do I think of the fun-filled life? Insane, inane. My verdict on the pursuit of happiness, who needs it?" Because he says, I can't find it anywhere, that I'm just going to give it up. Now, when I think about this in terms of us, you know, people of faith, how might we talk about happiness? Or better yet, how might we talk about what do we feel like is the thing that's most important to God? That if we were to ask God, you know, what's that one word that you and I should all go and pursue in our lives, what would we choose? Perhaps because we're faithful people, then we may choose a word like holiness. And we think about holiness, the word means set apart. And so when we think about holiness, we may think of things like, you know, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, a life of sacrifice. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I guess it does. So maybe, so maybe a lot of y'all are happy and because you're pursuing holiness. So, and you've probably found it. But when we think about that, those things really were not meant to make us happy, but they were meant to point us to where happiness can be found. So when we think about this, are we really meant to be happy? Well, pastor and prolific author A.W. Tozer had this to say. He has this quote. He says, "The people of God ought to be the happiest people in all the wide world. People should be coming to us constantly and asking the source of our joy and delight, that we ought to be the happiest people in the wide world. And John Wesley even said this, an 86-year-old John Wesley, 1 year away from when he passed away, when he had the benefit of 20/20 hindsight over the course of his life, over the course of the Methodist movement. He was talking to a group of Irish Methodists, and he asked them this great question from the Calvinist Westminster Confession. What is the chief end of man created? In other words, what's our purpose on earth? Why are we here? And this is what John Wesley said. His answer to that, you were made to be happy in God. As there is one God, one religion, and one happiness. And John Wesley went on to talk about it in this way. He says, the way that we should be is that we should be as a loving parent who, as we begin to raise our children, that we should follow after them as they run, as they play and explore and say, God is the one who created you, and God created you to be happy in him. That this is how we should live. This is the point of our lives. This is how you and I ought to be in the world. That we are to pursue happiness the way that God intended it. So perhaps happiness is worthy of our pursuit, but we've just been searching in the wrong places. And that's what I see as Paul is writing to Ephesus that we have recorded in this book of Acts. And Acts tells us about the early church, and it tells us about all the places that Paul went, those he interacted with. And at this point, Paul is coming to the ends of ministry, and he sees that he's going to begin the journey that ultimately would lead to his death, in which it did. As he begins to travel to Jerusalem and then would lead him to Rome, and it's there that he'd be put to death. And as he's leaving this place called Ephesus, this church that he started, this group of people that he was around, and he spent more time with Ephesus than he did any other church and group of people. And so as he begins to leave there, he gives them this message. He writes them this letter. He has the benefit of hindsight of 20/20. And he says, this is what I want you to know. And in many ways, this is really kind of Paul's secret to happiness. He says, this is what I want you to be about. So he begins in this way in verse 32 when he says, I want to commit to you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In other words, that you would know the kind of life that God is calling you to live because you know God. And so that first secret to happiness is having that relationship with God. And he goes on in verse 32 and he says this in verse 33, that I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or anything. Paul says, I've been content among you. I've not wanted anything from you because I've known what it has to be content. In verse 34, he says, that you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In other words, he said, I've not looked to you to supply things for me or to meet my needs, but I've done it myself. And even I have sought to meet the needs of other people. And then he goes on and says this, that in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that you must help the weak. In other words, that you and I ought to live for other people, that our hard work, that everything we do ought to be for other people, because when we do that, then we'll find real happiness. And he says he's done all of this. This is how he's lived his life. This is how he's found happiness. Because of the words of Jesus. He says, this is what Jesus says. And this is how Jesus lived. It is more blessed to give than to receive. He says, if you were to take all of these principles up, to have the relationship with God, to be content in everything you have, to work hard for other people, to supply your own needs, to give to other people, he says, all of this can be summed up in these very words of Jesus. That it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, our scriptures, there's 2,700 scriptures, verses that talk about happiness. They talk about things like happiness, joy, merriment, celebration. All throughout our scriptures is this idea that you and I ought to be happy. And one of the most interesting ones is this word blessed that we see in this verse. Because the word blessed is the Greek word Makarios. And the word Makarios appears 50 times in our New Testament. And what's so interesting is that within the NIV, the New International Version that I'm using today, that word is translated blessed 44 times. Four times it's translated happy, and two times it's translated happier. But in the Common English Bible, which is the translation, the contemporary translation of the United Methodist Church, it actually reverses that. Nine times it's translated blessed, but 33 times it's translated happy, and then joyful. You see, what this word tells us is that there's this connection between being blessed, which oftentimes we think of as having the favor of God upon us, that you and I want to be blessed. We want to have the favor of God on us. That's why we hashtag it the blessed life, right? Where the favor of God is on us. But there's this connection to a God type of happiness that's the equivalent of being blessed. That actually God's favor brings us happiness. And that God's desire is that you and I would be happy in God. And so when we look at this, Jesus could actually be telling us that you are happier when you give than when you receive. That you are happier when you give. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus would give. Jesus gave his life for us. And I believe that Jesus was happy. Have you ever thought about Jesus being happy? In fact, we have a little photo. How often do you think of Jesus in this way? Maybe sharing a laugh with his friends. Maybe Jesus told dad jokes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, have you ever thought about Jesus as happy, or do we think sometimes that Jesus was grumpy, maybe he's angry, upset, or maybe more often, Jesus was happy? Because we think about this, people loved to be around Jesus. Jesus would call people by name. Jesus would answer their questions. People would bring their friends to come and to meet Jesus. Jesus would go eat with them. Jesus would go to parties with them. And they would throw parties and invite Jesus to be the guest of honor. They loved being around Jesus. Because I think this is the Jesus that they saw. And now, of course, Jesus talked about really difficult topics like sin and death and judgment. But he did it in such a way that people were curious to hear more, that they weren't put off by it, that they wanted to hear, that they understood what he had to say, that they welcomed his words as being the words of life. I believe Jesus was happy. And it's not a superficial state that you and I oftentimes think of happiness. I think it's the kind of happiness that's the God-given type of happiness that Jesus describes in John 10:10, when he says, "This is why I came. I came for this, so that you would have real and eternal life, more and better life than you've ever dreamed of." And when we think that this is what Jesus is offering to us, shouldn't this make us happy? When we live into this life, yes, we should be happy. As we begin to live into the life that Jesus is offering to us, modeled for us, shows us, invites us into. So let's be happier people. Because Jesus tells us this, that you are happier when you give. So let's be the kind of people that live into this happiness, who say, "I want to be happier by giving." Now, throughout each of our weeks in our sermon series, and I'm going to give you one of these Beatitudes, and this is our first week, that you are happier when you give. So when you think about this, as you go about your week, I want to invite you to be a person who is generous, who gives. Maybe it looks like a cup of coffee for someone. Maybe it's you buy someone's lunch, or maybe you give of your time. Maybe you give a kind word, whatever it might be. But I want to invite you to say, "God, today I want to give. And so, Lord, I want to ask you for opportunities for me to be a giver." Because happiness is not a state that you and I will ever find or stay in. But if we choose to do happiness, then we'll become happier people. And happier people make other people happier. And so today I want to invite you, as we begin 2020, and as we see what's ahead, you and I can't predict anything that's going to happen in this world. The first couple days of 2020 have been spectacular, have they not? So none of us can predict what's ahead of us, what's ahead of our world, what's ahead of our country. But I do know this, you and I want to be happy. And God is offering to you a life that will actually make you happy and will make other people happier. If you're willing to follow him, if you're willing to accept the invitation, one thing that you and I can do is we can make other people happier. And by that, they'll experience the grace and love of God through you. You are happier when you give. So let's go and give. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are happy, that you smile upon us, that you say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and follow me." And Jesus, I thank you that you showed us how to love other people, how to show them true happiness and true joy. When God, so often we look for it in all the other places. And Lord, we know it'll never be found there. So Lord, may we find it in you, that you created us to be happy in you. And so Lord, may we live into that this week, that as you show us, Lord, how to live a life that gives, Lord, may we be happier people when we give. May we see opportunities that you put before us, that you bring to us, that you bring to our hearts and our minds. And may we give to those in whatever way you lay upon our hearts. But may we say yes to you as we begin to live this new year and this new decade. May we give it to you, Lord, and experience the life you're calling us to live. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.